Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Since the death of George Floyd at the hands of Minneapolis police, we've seen continued rioting in the streets in some Democratic-controlled cities and accusations that the U.S. is a nation of systemic racism. Efforts to change our history abound in public school curriculum, on college campuses, in some government circles. Black Lives Matter has become front and center in professional sports and even the rioting itself. The words white privilege, wokeness, diversity, critical race theory have become common on the nightly news. But most concerning is how that is impacting the military and the potential for an ever-increasing negative impact on the military. My guest today is Elaine Donnelly, president of the Center for Military Readiness. Thanks, Elaine, for being with us.
Yes, nice to talk with you, Diane.
What is the critical race theory?
Critical race theory has been around for a long time, but it's starting to take hold in the nation's schools, especially in colleges, high schools. It's a theory that maintains that our society is hopelessly racist, that it has to do with the 1619 Project that got a Pulitzer Prize. It was only a year ago that came on the scene, and it says that our nation was not founded in 1776. Our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, our Founding Fathers. It actually began in 1619 with the slave ships that came over from Europe. And it's a complete revision of history. And it maintains, critical race theory maintains, that our society is so fundamentally racist, you must acknowledge it as such. And people who are not minority, that is a white population, must admit that they themselves are racist, that our society is racist. And if we don't admit that and say, well, because it's racist, it has to be torn down and restructured and destroyed and rebuilt, if you don't say that, then that in itself is proof that you are a racist.
Yeah.
In fact, if you deny you are a racist, that means you're clueless, you don't understand 1619 history, and it is proof in itself that you are a racist. Now, it's the kind of a philosophy, there's no way that once accused you can ever prove otherwise. And it's demoralizing enough in a civilian sense. But when you start introducing this philosophy into the military, at the military service academies, for instance, at West Point and the other service academies, it is so demoralizing.
Absolutely.
And divisive.
Absolutely.
To teach young men and women who are going to be leading others into battle, who need to be prepared for battle, that they should be involved in creating suspicions and accusations, accusations that can never be resolved. It is demoralizing in the extreme.
Right.
And fortunately, the good news is the president has confronted critical race theory, starting with the Office of Management and Budget. The director there, a man named Russell Vought, said government agencies must avoid, cannot be, fund this type of instruction, and that included the Department of Defense.
Okay. Good.
Then the president issued an executive order that also said that he would not tolerate or fund the kind of critical race theory that tears down America, that is an anti-American philosophy. And it's a wonderful executive order that was issued about a month ago. So the president gets it, and that's a good thing.
Right.
But in the military, the pressure is on to introduce critical race theory anyway.
I can't wrap my head around why they'd want to do that, but again, it's those radicals who are behind it. You have an August 19th article which starts out, imagine this, the streets of Army bases or the decks of Navy ships are painted with large yellow letters saluting the controversial organization Black Lives Matter. At the Army-Navy game, players take a knee instead of saluting the flag. Could what mostly the Democrats are wanting for the military, could those scenarios actually happen?
Yes, everything depends on the election.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's suppose that the Biden administration comes in. They do believe this stuff. They and all of their allies really do believe this stuff. And what makes the military more vulnerable than most institutions is everybody must follow orders.
Right.
So if the orders come down to eliminate racism in the military, including at West Point, the service academies, and every branch of the service, all the ships at sea, that means you have to follow the lead of the people who say or think that they have the solution.
Yeah.
And their theory or their solution is to teach critical race theory so that white privilege will be admitted and confronted and supposedly eradicated. But the only way you can eliminate white privilege, I say that with air quotes,
right,
is by admitting that you're a racist. If you deny you're a racist, that means you're a racist.
That means you are, So there's no way to get around
it. Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, so there's no way getting around it.
There's no way to get around it.
Right.
So painting big yellow letters on the streets of a typical Army base, you can see a commander confronted by advocates of critical race theory. Let's suppose that they have a base, a power base in the Pentagon. And let's suppose that that power base was actually established by this administration, Donald Trump, by the current Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper. Now, Mark Esper has done some good things in trying to deal with discrimination. He's trying to go to color blindness. He's saying that promotion should be judged without any reference to photographs or even names, so that everybody's treated the same. And that's fine. Let's give that a try. Let's see how it works. But he has also called for the establishment of a Defense Advisory Committee on Diversity and Inclusion in the Pentagon. Now, I was on one of these advisory committees. It was a committee on women in the services back in the 1990s. And what we saw there, or what we did, was put the branches of service on notice. They had to do certain things to support women in the military. Now, I wrote many of those recommendations. Many of them were very good ones. But the Dakowitz Committee, as it was called, also got into some radical proposals, very harmful ones. If you have a commission on diversity and inclusion, here's how it would work. I have experience with this.
Right.
The members, first of all, would be chosen to reflect the CRT philosophy. You could be pretty sure of that. And if there was anyone who didn't, they would be in the minority, maybe 1 out of 15.
Yeah.
Okay, that's how I usually was, 1 out of 15. And then they would call on the carpet, the branches of the service, and say, what are you doing to confront racism in your Army base or your Navy ships or whatever? They say, oh, well, we painted these big yellow letters, Black Lives Matter. This is a way to try to assuage the advocates of this sort of thing. And as we saw in Washington, D.C. and so many cities around the nation, it doesn't assuage anything.
Exactly.
Part of the reason that the Secretary of Defense feels like he's on the defensive is because, remember when the president walked across Lafayette Park?
Oh, yeah.
Because he was confronting those who had damaged a church and threatened to burn it.
Right.
They were threatening a statue that they were going to, actually, they had already vandalized the World War II memorial, and they were vandalizing a lot of statues in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
So the president had this, what they called a photo op. He walked over there to the church, and I don't know where the Bible came from. He had a Bible in his hand. Somebody must have handed it to him. He didn't have it when he walked over there. Well, the military folks who were there, the chief of staff, General Milley, Secretary of Defense, they have been apologizing ever since.
Oh, wow.
Because they were accused of taking a political stand in favor of the president just by being there. Now,
because the president,
for a lot of reasons.
Because the president walked across Lafayette Park and then he was handed a Bible and he held the Bible up in front of the church.
For some reason, the image of the Bible, the president holding up the Bible, just seemed to freak everybody out.
Yeah.
And I do mean freak out, because the criticisms have been really irrational. The president did have to deal with vandalism.
Right.
He did invoke, I think it's 10 years in prison or a $10,000 fine for people who destroy
vandalize on
statues.
Federal property. Yeah.
Right. Statues of veterans.
Right.
And that would include the statue that they were trying to tear down in Lafayette Park. So he did quell the violence, and there was a lot of exaggeration. There were statements made that were misattributed to other people. There was a lot of garble and confusion.
Yeah.
But some on the left just went absolutely crazy over this whole scene, and the military has been on the defensive ever since because General Milley was there and the Secretary of Defense was there. Now, we have told the administration, look, you've taken the right step to get rid of critical race theory in the Department of Defense and in all branches of the government. why then would you set up a power base in the Pentagon
exactly.
that would start advocating for the same philosophy?
Right, right.
And then say, oh, no, well, that's not what we intend. Look, I've been on one of these commissions. Mm-hmm. I know how they operate.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what would happen.
Right.
Because
is there any
once the recommendation comes down, nobody opposes it.
Right, exactly. It's, yeah, following lockstep. Is there any real evidence of systemic racism within the military?
Oh, there has been, yes.
Okay.
I think any honest person and historian
well, racism,
would have to
right,
admit
but
that.
Right.
But the military did something way before the civilian world, and that was when the commander-in-chief was Harry S. Truman.
Okay.
He issued an executive order in 1948 during the Korean War. He needed minority soldiers. He did
mm-hmm.
it primarily for reasons of military necessity. But it also was an executive order eliminating discrimination, racial discrimination, in the armed forces. Now, that was a time of a lot of racial tension in
oh,
the
yeah.
Navy as well as the Army. It's true. It's historic. But the military has tried to live up to the values that Harry Truman established well before the civilian world.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't deny that there have been racist incidents, but it doesn't mean that the institution of the U.S. Army, the U.S. Navy,
right.
the United States government is so racist that the whole thing has to be torn down, all the symbols have to be torn down,
mm-hmm.
Confederate statues torn down, even Abraham Lincoln torn down, Washington, the statues of George Washington.
And that just
Columbus.
Shows, yeah, that just shows to me they don't know anything about our history when they're especially targeting Abraham Lincoln and saying he's
yes.
racist.
Well, but again, to them, everything that is American is,
mm.
by their definition
yeah. Yeah.
and their philosophy, racist. It doesn't matter who it is or what it is.
Yeah.
This is why it is so frightening, and it's really scary, and it was reassuring that the president did take a stand. He did say, we will not have these kind of programs
yeah.
in our government agencies.
Now, that just causes more division.
What we need to focus on is the concept that Harry S. Truman established with his executive order, and that is non-discrimination and recognition of individual merit. But CRT does not recognize individual merit. In fact, there have been some displays at the American Museum of History
mm-hmm.
in Washington, D.C., and even an Army base, saying that pursuit of excellence and colorblindness, these are qualities that they consider typical of whiteness.
Mm-hmm.
If they
yeah.
are typical of whiteness, then that means they're bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Part of white dominant culture is the phrase that they use.
Right.
So the Army had something called Operation Inclusion, and it had a handout displaying a pyramid-shaped graph,
uh-huh.
and it listed examples of things that were socially unacceptable, such as covert white supremacy. This included colorblindness, denial of racism, support for efficiency and meritocracy, and the family is usually in that list, too.
Yeah.
Now, those are qualities on which our military depends.
Exactly.
Meritocracy, efficiency, you know, being obedient to authority and orders, and the nuclear family, self-reliance, these are qualities that they say are suspect because they're typical of whiteness.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. That's a racist comment right there.
Exactly. But
these
they don't
are
view
qualities
it the, yeah.
that we need in our military
right.
and in our civilian world. It has nothing to do with race.
They they're racist in many of the things that they do, the progressives, as they, you know, say they are. But they're racist
mm-hmm.
in many of their policies or many of their ideas, but yet they accuse us of racism. Now, that was a fort in Alabama, I believe, the first example
yes.
you gave with the covert.
The Redstone Arsenal in Alabama.
Okay, yeah.
And
then West Point. I'm assuming that, obviously, this material was not approved, and it would just kind of sneak in.
Now, here's the thing. At West Point, I went to West Point's website,
uh-huh.
and I looked at the curriculum. And I saw their programs about critical race theory, and they had mandatory books that were part of the course.
Oh, wow.
And this is part of sociology, if you
yeah.
major in sociology.
Uh-huh.
So you have to read these books. They're mandatory if you choose that course. So I looked at the titles, and they're all, you know, critical race theory. Some of them even say that in the title.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent an email to the public affairs people, and I said, well, do you have books by people like Thomas Sowell
right.
or Walter Williams,
mm-hmm.
people like that who have a differing view?
Right.
And they would not answer that mm-hmm. question.
So you know what the answer
they
was.
Just refused.
No, they don't.
And I tried several times to get an answer, and they just won't answer that question.
Yeah. They just don't want to go on record, but you know their non-answer is actually an answer.
That's exactly
yeah.
right.
Yeah, they
so
just have...
the other service academies, I've heard even in the chaplain corps, when people start feeling defensive and they're accused of something and they want to do something to say, to prove they're not racist,
right.
when they start going toward critical race theory and its proposals and its curriculum, what they do is take a problem, if the problem exists, and they make it worse.
Oh, yeah.
Because they make
Absolutely.
It divisive, they mm-hmm. raise suspicion. Everybody is supposed to be on the defensive, these classes. You are supposed to feel uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
if you take one of these classes. If you are not a minority person, in other words, if you're white,
right.
the point
You'll be
is
on the
to
defensive.
Make the white people feel uncomfortable.
So how now, is this supposed to help unit cohesion? It doesn't.
It doesn't.
It destroys it.
It doesn't. It has nothing to do with military values.
Yeah.
There's a Navy captain somewhere who has a book club. He said his first selection would be White Fragility. It's a popular book.
Mm-hmm.
It's in one of these anti-racist programs, and it relentlessly criticizes white privilege and supremacy culture in American life.
Yeah.
Now Senator Tom Cotton has sponsored a bill to end federal funding of the 1619 curriculum.
Okay, good.
All
yeah.
of these kinds of, there's certain code words. Once you look for those code words,
right.
you can see critical race theory is starting to move very quickly
yeah.
into our culture, into our education system.
And they just follow suit because we've allowed the progressives to take control of the public education system, to take control of higher education and other institutions around the country, and they've inched their way. Now openly they're advocating all this stuff, but they, you know, there's been decades that they've been working at this. And mm-hmm. even with President Trump's executive order on September 22nd that you mentioned, that's just an executive order. If
that's right.
we lose the election on November 3rd, then Biden can issue another executive order, or if the Democrats take control of the White House, the House and Senate, it'll be put into law that this must be taught throughout the military, must be part of
the
military
life.
Well,
the current defense bill has language in there only on the House side, so it could be dropped in conference committee, and it should be. But the House bill calls for establishment of one of these advisory commissions. It has mm-hmm. a slightly different name than the one that Mark Esper wants to set up in the Pentagon in December. What they would do is provide funding. This is where the so-called experts get hired, big mm-hmm. contracts, these people who go to certain courses of instruction and they become experts in critical race theory. Well, they get hired by the Pentagon, and once that happens, the experts must be followed or else.
Yeah.
And here's a little trick that it was actually recommended as long back as 2011, something called the Military Leadership Diversity Commission, MLDC. We wrote about it at the time. They're saying there should be in the Pentagon chief diversity officers. The chief diversity officer at the level of Department of Defense should review all promotions to flag rank, flag and general rank, to make sure that nobody is promoted unless they buy into the diversity and inclusion ideology.
So it doesn't matter what their accomplishments have been in one of the military. It doesn't matter
right.
how well they've done in the military life. It's if they're not diverse enough, they wouldn't
right.
be promoted. That pretty much it?
Well, it's not just diversity in themselves. They have to swear allegiance
okay.
to critical race theory.
Wow.
Again, if you don't say and denounce what you have to denounce, white supremacy,
mm-hmm.
you have to admit to being a white supremacist. You cannot deny being racist because that proves you're clueless,
yeah.
and that must mean you're racist as well. You see how insidious this
yeah.
is? So if promotions depend on meeting this level of approval, okay, the chief diversity officer, the CDO, the political officer, has to approve you, now they're talking about not just at the Pentagon, but right down to a high level in every one of the branches of service, CDOs everywhere to review everybody's promotion.
Wow.
So that means if you are in the military or your spouse is, they could not ever divert from the kind of ideology that some people would want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the rather outlandish examples that I put at the top of my article,
yeah.
painting Black Lives Matter on streets, having players at the Army-Navy game taking a knee,
mm-hmm.
it's not that outlandish
yeah.
when you think about how far they've already gone.
Exactly, just
and,
within the last few months. Yeah.
Right, in the military, everybody must follow orders,
yeah.
expectations. If they don't, they will be marked down. They will not get promoted. That ends their career in the military, whether they are good officers or not.
Right.
So, yes, it is an insidious thing. I think the president gets it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether the Secretary of Defense, Mr. Esper, gets it yet.
Yeah.
But depending on the outcome of the election, President Trump could indeed eliminate this and make sure that his orders are carried out in all branches of the government, including the Department of Defense. And that kind of an order could not come too soon.
Right. Yeah, I know that he has said he will not sign the National Defense Authorization Act in NDAA if it contains funding for teaching or advocating for critical race theory. So, like you said, that language needs to be taken out in committee.
He said he would veto the bill if it called for tearing down Confederate symbols
and
statues and that sort of thing. Well, the Secretary of Defense has already issued an order, and I do support this one, saying that flags that are not authorized and displays will not be tolerated. That includes the LGBT pride flags. It includes BLM. It includes Antifa, as well as anything else that's not authorized.
Right.
So that problem, pretty much, the Department of Defense has already taken care
of. Okay, good.
Except now the Confederate statues. I think there are some good ideas out there to look at each one in a serious way from an historic perspective.
Uh-huh.
Maybe some of those names could be changed to something better.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who actually was associated with that base, with a distinguished career. It should be done for military reasons, and the local community should be involved. It should not be done for reasons of trying to assuage the BLM folks or critical race theory or anything like
that.
That I think the president would not tolerate.
Exactly.
To me, if he had a choice, the more important thing are the mandates for critical race theory in education and these panels, the diversity and inclusion panels.
Mm-hmm.
How it's all going to turn out, we don't know. We have House and Senate bills. They'll go to conference after the election.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on, and the so-called progressives are definitely trying to remake our country as a whole, including the military. Is there anything that we can do? I mean, some of us, like I have a son in the Navy. Is there anything that we can do, whether we have children in the Navy or not, as citizens?
Well,
is there anything we can do?
The best thing you can do, if you have family members in the military, they should be on the lookout for critical race theory, and they should report it. They should report it, perhaps, if they can always report through our webpage, cmrlink.org, in confidence. We never reveal sources.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the White House needs to know that this is a problem.
Okay.
And I have heard from people in the military, including chaplains, who have been faced with this sort of thing. And most just sort of try to stay quiet. They try to go along and get along.
Right.
But it's going to get worse before it gets better unless it's called out and exposed and eliminated the way the president wants.
Right, exactly.
Everybody in the military must follow orders. If
mm-hmm.
the orders are what Trump wants, then they need to follow those orders.
Absolutely.
But that means the president also needs to appoint really good officials over there at the Pentagon.
Yeah.
It is one weakness in the administration, although Trump has done many good things for the military.
Yeah.
In his next term, if he has a next term,
mm-hmm.
he needs to make sure that he appoints really good people at the Pentagon who share his values, well-qualified people.
Yeah. Absolutely agree. So give us your website again. I'm assuming folks can contact you through the website.
It is. 3ws.cmrlink.org. Again, 3ws.cmrlink.org, Center for Military Readiness.
Okay, fantastic. I appreciate all your concern and your input, your knowledge about the military. Really appreciate that. And thanks for giving us this warning about the intrusion and attack on military cohesion through the critical race theory. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay, you take care.
Thank you.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.